This is the defense Wisconsin is counting on to change everything. Tonight, we take a complete look at Mike Trussell's group to find out whether this unit has the depth, star power, and toughness to become one of the Big Ten's best. This is the complete 2026 Wisconsin defensive preview. I'm Rajiv. He's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers! Ring one up!
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome into the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Sunday evening to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers on today's show. The 2026 season is getting closer, and tonight we're putting the entire Wisconsin defense under the microscope. Nick Osen joins us as we go position by position through Mike Trussell's unit, project the depth chart, identify the biggest strengths and concerns, and look at the players who could take a major step forward this fall. We'll also talk about what this defense needs to become, what has to improve from last season, and which players will be most important if Wisconsin is going to thrive against this Big Ten schedule. Then we'll finish with our defensive superlatives, including breakout candidates, underrated players, defensive MVP picks, and the three defenders the Badgers simply cannot afford to lose. By the end of the show, we'll have a clear answer to the biggest question surrounding this unit. Is Wisconsin's defense truly built to win in 2026? You can find our show on YouTube, on X, and wherever you get your podcast. If you like what we're doing, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, share the show with a friend, hype it, do all those fun things. We're pushing out a subscriber push heading to football season, which is just 56 days away. It's going to be fantastic. We've got so much going on tonight. We've been previewing. We've been talking about this defensive preview. So we're going to do that. A couple quick programming notes to start off. The Know Your Foe series kicked off last week with flying colors. Thank you all the Notre Dame fans who watched that show and drove that up. Thank you. Thank you. The Know Your Foe series of Notre Dame was fantastic. We've got Penn State coming up this week. Here's a rundown of all the upcoming content. We've already gone through a few of our big shows. We've got the defensive preview tonight. Big Ten Media Days is coming up on Tuesday, July 28th. Our good buddy Nick Gosen will be there with me. I'm sure he and I, as we do every year, we'll do a podcast together for sure. Penn State's coming up. And of course, season opener on September 6th in Lambeau. I will be there. Justin will be there. Nick will be there. It's going to be a party. It's going to be a great time. A lot of our friends, a lot of you listening will be at that game as well. So much going on to talk about. But as always, anytime we do these big previews, we have to have our good buddy join us.
The Bucky Report proudly welcomes Nick Osen from 247 Sports.
He is the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Nick Osen from 247 Sports. Nick, welcome to the show, man. How are you? Welcome back. You're pretty much a regular these days.
I appreciate it, guys. You know, I'm doing great. Been looking forward to this, of course. And, man, it's unbelievable. Obviously, you've added to your awesome graphics and thumbnails. Just 56 days away. That is a little bit crazy to think about still.
Dude, 8 weeks, man. We are closing in. Closing in. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I like College Football 27 came out. It has not helped me. It did worse. I am now like, all right, enough of this already. I need fall camp to start. I need to start getting some info on what's happening, because sitting here hoping that I'll get like to see a 15-second clip of guys running around out on the field, you know, dragging parachutes and stuff, is just not cutting it for me.
I know that the camp date's been released. What is that? Is it what's the date of the second of August? Is that camp start?
I believe it's the 5th.
Okay.
I believe it's the 5th.
It'd be roughly 30 days.
Yeah. So the 5th. Yeah, man, I'll tell you. And we listen, and as we've done last year, we are going to have like camp stock up, stock down, fall camp insiders. That's when Nick's going to be coming back on the show.
Oh yeah.
Maybe get Coco on with us, and we're going to break down what everyone's seeing. So yeah, that's definitely going to be part of it. Listen, before we get into our defensive preview, I did want to ping you guys on one thing. I want everyone's opinion and put it in the comments, because I'm really interested. We had a texting discussions back and forth a little bit, but let's talk about the uniforms for Notre Dame, the Notre Dame. But I see that you just started a comment, Justin. That's great. Greg Belmondo, thoughts on the Lambeau Badger jerseys. I'm going to start with this one. Then I want everyone to comment. At first, I immediately thought, okay, that's an Ohio State jersey. What are we doing here? That's a Rutgers jersey. What are we doing? But then I saw the players' reaction when Posa and Catalano came in the room and they showed it off to everybody. And dude, that chrome actually is pretty tight. Like, it shines. The helmet. I love my red helmet. Red helmet's up behind me. I love the red helmet. I wish we had the red helmet more. But while I don't love the silver, I think because they did it so shiny and so chrome-like, actually, I think it's pretty sick. But here's the biggest thing. The guys like it. If they're into it, I'm fine with it. What the hell ever. And listen, I've been calling for so long. Just give us some alternatives. Mm-hmm. Give us something different. I'm happy with it. Justin, what'd you think about him? You were kind of on the fence.
So I saw somebody throw out there and I thought that this is really interesting. They were like, why not go with like a metallic white? And I'm like, that would have looked badass. I'm like, if they could have had like a shiny, like the chrome looks with the white, I'm like, I think I would have been a little more on board. I do struggle with it because it does remind me of like an alternate OSU jersey. Like, it really, those are like scarlet and gray, but it does fit with what they did with the Notre Dame ones. So when I look at it, I'm kind of looking at it like, all right, theirs isn't necessarily exactly the colors that you would go with for them either. Like, I realize it's they're gold and blue, but it's like, it's almost like a bronze, like that's on their jerseys. Like, it doesn't even look necessarily gold to me. So I just kind of felt like, all right, it's one game. I don't care. And if the players are happy, awesome. Like, I think we should do more of this for the players because I do think it gets people excited. And ultimately, it's not about us old people. It's about, are the players hyped about it? Are the students hyped about it? Does it drive sales? Yes, it does, because it's something different. So I don't see why we don't do more of it.
Well, as the resident young person here, Nick, what do you think about it?
Oh, it's good to still hear that sometimes. Guys, you know, I've been consistent. I loved him from the jump. I'm huge on just trying different things for kind of one-off events like this. Red is my favorite color, so I love that focus. I thought the chrome was done pretty well. And then, I mean, you guys kind of said it very eloquently as well. I was kind of surprised. Like, there was a ton of discussion on this, like, everywhere, including, I'm sure, with you guys on Twitter, on our site. And then I kind of jumped in and finally posted, hey, like I said, Justin, it's tough to disagree with what you said about, you know, maybe some resemblance to others, but it's a one-off. The kids love it. And obviously we've all got some great, you know, friendships and ties. Like, the parents love this too. They're pretty excited about this. I think it's going to sell very well.
I will say this comment here from Neza is perfect. He says the leak was horrible, but the jerseys look good. This take is absolutely spot on. The leak picture looked like crap. It looked literally like an Ohio State jersey. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And then once the actual chrome, you could actually see the chrome. Then I'm like, okay, that looks pretty sick. That's different. That's unique. Honestly, the chrome W is pretty tight. Like, let's be honest about that. That's pretty sick. And as Will Hanna says, I'll let you know what I think about the jerseys after the game. Yeah. If we win in those jerseys, never take them off.
So what I will say about this is, did anybody else feel like they were waiting for Posa to just level somebody when he came running in the pads? That dude is so high energy. Like, he was just like, the other two guys came walking in and all of a sudden Posa comes running in. I'm just like, just don't hurt anyone.
Yeah. Jeez. Okay, guys, let's get into our main topics of the day. Where's my graphic? There it is. Okay, so the defensive preview, let's kind of just first start with identity and system. Justin, what does Mike Tressel want the hallmark of this defense to be? Like, what does he want from this defense and you, from your perspective?
I think ultimately it's effectively the same thing what they were trying to do with Leonard. Like, he wants to have a really stout run defense, and he wants his defensive front guys to be able to free up the linebackers to make plays. And I think that ultimately is what, like, maybe we can argue how he likes to use his edges. Are we playing a 4-3? Are we doing whatever? I mean, it doesn't really matter ultimately. Mm-hmm. But they're very similar in what he's trying to do. He wants to free up people to make plays. I think ultimately the biggest difference between what Leonard was doing is, I think we have more athletic talent on the back end, at least in this one, than what we've had recently. And I think that is a big deal, because what it does is it gives you a little bit more room for error where those guys can cover a little bit more just because they have the athletic ability to do it. Where if guys can't quite get there, maybe they get an extra tick because those guys can stay with a guy for just a beat longer.
Nick, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Justin, I think that was super well said. You know, I would also add with what Trussell likes to do, I personally think there's a good amount of multiplicity at times, which I think from my understanding doing, you know, podcast previews with others, I think people have said it's kind of tougher to maybe scout up against or to kind of prepare for when it's at its best. Obviously, we've seen that. I also think, and I don't want to get too far because I know we're going to have similar questions about this, but I think they're obviously looking to increase sacks and, of course, turnovers. We didn't see quite as much of that last year.
Yeah, the word I wrote down was multiplicity. I completely agree with you, Nick. I mean, he said that from jump. He wants it to be, but he hasn't really had the players to be multiple. And now it looks like with, as Justin mentioned, the athleticism on the back end, a way better secondary than there was in the past. And we've clearly beefed up the D-line over the last two seasons. We had a good one last year. Another looks like it's going to be a good one this year, which we're going to get into all those positions. We should be stout up front, but I do think like the ability to be multiple, to bring different kind of coverages, to bring different looks. You've seen the 2-4, the 2-4-5. You've seen the 4-3. You've seen one thing we really never see is a 3-4, but there's all kinds of looks that Trussell can bring. I think ultimately we need to be disruptive, and I think that's what he wants. And I think ultimately, like I want to ask you guys this about what should this defense be known for by the end of the season? I love when Badger defenses are known for being stout run stoppers. Like you've got to be a team that comes in to say like, hey, you're not running the ball on us. If you want to test Javon Robinson and Scott and these guys, fine. You can test them. You may not win, but you can test them. You're not running the ball at Camp Randall. You're not running the ball at your home field. That to me is what I feel like this Badger defense, what I want them to be known for. I think it's absolutely what we have the skills for, especially with guys like Posa and Catalano and even the backups at that position. Like wherever you look at this team, you look at the ability to stop the run. And we know year in and year out, you cannot perform in this conference if you can't stop the run. And we've seen it for the last couple of years, not last year, but the year before that. You can't stop the run, you're absolutely toast. Nick, what do you think this defense should be known for?
I think that is kind of the ideal, but to me, it's a little bit more going to be, this is the most athletic playmakers that we've seen in the 3 or 4 years. I think when I'm fortunate, obviously, to go through spring ball, when we're looking at fall camp, like I'll share kind of my thoughts on D-line, on stopping the run, all of that. But to me, I think I'm most confident that is where things are at. Like we'll see who kind of grows as stars. Obviously, we know about the linebackers. But love what you said, I think it was you, Rajiv, about, okay, maybe some of the backups. Thinking at LB, Kamara, Heiberger, they bring some different elements. You get to the outside. Justin's guy, Nick Clayton, you know he is ready to emerge and make some things happen. I've said it. I've written about it. I think I trust 4 or 5 corners at this point. The athleticism has grown there. So I think that's where I'm at. I'm not ready to, you know, maybe say, hey, I think that it's going to be the best run stopping we've seen. I think that they're going to generate the most picks. But I think there's the greatest amount of athletic playmakers at each 3 levels that we've probably seen, I'd probably say, in 5 to 6 seasons.
Well said.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. The way I kind of look at this, there is a ton of opportunity for guys. Like, I don't know that necessarily we can look at this group right now and say, like back in the Leonard days, we knew guys were going to be super disciplined and understand what they had to do. And then you had a couple of guys who were just playmakers. I don't know we're going to see that level of discipline, but I also can say that you have more guys in this defense that I've ever can remember that I'm like, that guy can go out there and potentially make a freakish play. Or potentially, if this guy gets beat off the line, like Robinson at corner, I would give him, like, if I was going to grade him, I'd probably say he's like a B+. But athletically, he's an A because the guy can flat out fly. And how often have we had a guy that is capable of making up ground if they get beat? We have not had many of those guys. And he absolutely is a guy who can track somebody down if they get a step on him.
I like what you said there, Nick. If we're known for athleticism at the end of the year, that's a damn good sign. That's a really good sign because, I mean, as you just said, Justin, like, we're not known to be an athletic defense. Like, that's not what we are. We're stout, but athletic is what you see from Ohio State's defenses and you see from, you know, Michigan's defenses, certainly the SEC defenses. You don't really normally see that from us, which and the athletes look to be there. We're going to get into those athletes as we get into the meat of our depth chart discussion, the player discussion. But look, last year was good, not great. We allowed 218 yards passing per game, which was pretty rough. Yet offense, as far as run defense, we did well. We had some big wins. We didn't do some things. We did do some things. What's the big, if you could say, what's the biggest change that we need to see from last year to this year, Nick? Like, where are you at? What's the one thing you're like, we've got to change this?
Yeah, I'll give one a little bit more specific, Reggie, even one statistic, I guess. I think you want to be able to trust guys on an island a little bit more this year. I think that's where I'm at, certainly in the pass game. I actually thought the run defense was really good last year, like you alluded to, Rajiv. So I'm not going to say that has to change as much. That maybe has to be replicated. But I think, and this is so tough, obviously, whether we're talking college or NFL, like, it is tough to repeat things like turnovers. But to me, if you can just pick, hey, I'm going to choose this from 2025 to 2026, double, at least one and a half, double the amount of turnovers generated. Because not only can it simply flip games, but it just gives the guys a little bit more of an identity and a higher ceiling when they can do that.
Yeah. What I'll say on that is that you can say double. It doesn't need to be one and a half. With how pathetic the numbers were last season, that would put us at like average, I think, if we doubled it. And that is completely reasonable to say.
Yeah.
If we're more capable of being disruptive, that we should be at least average from a turnover standpoint. And that greatly impacts this team. Like, we talked about all the issues on the offensive side of the ball. How much better is the defense if they can actually force some turnovers and get themselves off the field, even more so than the ability to get the sacks and generate tackles for loss?
Like, that's a huge deal. Yeah, we forced six turnovers last year. Six turnovers. And can I remind you that Zachman had two in one game? Like, what the hell are we doing? Like, that was,
I'll stick with my double at least then, like Justin said. Yeah. Sure.
Listen,
I forgot about that number, to be honest.
12 to 15 turnovers, 15 to 18, that's fine. But like, we've got to force them. And like, we have the players for it. I'll also remind you that like, it's also keeping the pressure up too. Like, sacks wise, I mean, Mason Posa didn't play the entire season. He led the team in tackles. He had, how many sacks did he have last year? He had four sacks and he didn't even play like that.
Whole, I mean,
it's pretty wild, the numbers that he came up with in Catalano. So you got to think they're going to, and he also forced a fumble, right? Like, projecting out, we should be better, but it's got to be that. And for me, there's two stats offensively the other team had. So I mentioned the 200 and we allowed 218.3 yards passing per game. We also allowed a completion percentage of 69.8%. No. You can't allow a 70% completion percentage. Like, by the way, we had a 57% completion percentage. I just want to throw that out there. But we're doing our offensive preview next week. We'll talk about that. But,
well, and that's a little bit what I'm saying. Yeah,
for sure. Changing, I mean, like, things in the, I think ultimately we have to cut down on that. Our pass defense should be better. It should be better. Obviously, we brought in tons of talent from West and Robinson, and we're going to go through that. But it's got to be that. We've got to be able to really dive into that and figure out what was wrong with it and fix that. And I think that's going to happen. But what we know up front is those guys are pretty good and they're pretty stout. And let's get into that. Let's start with the defensive line. What I want to do on each one of these is kind of talk through general. Look, we know there's not an exact two deep, but we're going to try to give our projected two deep and who starters, players like the defensive line. It's going to be a lot of guys. It's going to be a bit of a hockey type, you know, line changes. So we can talk about who's going to play, who the starters are going to be. And then for each one of these, we're going to talk about what's the biggest strength in these position units. And obviously, if you're listening to this either now or later, put your stuff in the comments. I want to hear what strengths and weaknesses are in everyone in position group. Because I think when you look at this entire defense, we've talked a lot about how good it is. There are question marks, but man, there's a lot of great freaking players on this defense. And I think the strengths really outweigh the concerns. And we'll get into that. Let's start defensive line. I think, you know, Justin, I'll lead off with you on this one. there's a lot of good linemen. We brought in a lot of different guys, but who are you kind of targeting as your number ones, your number twos, like those sort of four to five guys on the inside that's going to play and get the vast majority of those snaps on the interior?
If I was to say the two starters, I would say probably right now it's probably Hammond, Russell, and Perkins are probably the starters, and Poyser is probably fighting in there somewhere in a rotation with those with Perkins. I think Vils is probably, if I was going to say the two backups are probably Vils and Poyser or Vils and Perkins, whichever they decide to go with. And then there's a couple other bodies that can kind of be thrown as the third guys in there with like Johnson. I'm trying to think of who else is in that. Akponu, some guys who are potentially can get themselves in there, but they're probably going to be relied on a little bit less. They have a lot of bodies, or Anderson too. Like he's who I expect to step up in the fall here, but it sounds like it took him a little bit to adjust to the physicality jumping up to here, because I mean, it is a jump. You're going FCS to this when suddenly everybody else is as athletic as you are. That's a big deal for a guy who is one of the better players at that level and is now jumping up to here and has to suddenly deal with what it's like to have somebody be able to match him.
Yeah. Nick, where are you at on the depth chart? Give me your greatest strength from these guys that we're talking about.
Yeah. Really, really good stuff, Justin. Like tough to kind of push back on any of that. I think, you know, Russell was maybe the most consistent to me, but I think Poyser and Perkins are both going to play a ton. So, like, those to me are clear-cut top three. I like what Vils can bring. I think Anderson will kind of get there, hopefully, like you mentioned. Dylan Johnson's still experienced. He still has his good moments. I think X is close. X Uponu as well. So, really agree with all the names. Look, I think probably the biggest strength within this year's group is they're kind of some different body types. I'm not sure if the depth we've got to see it. I'm really being, you know, kind of intentional with projections and things, as we've seen the last couple of years. So I got to see it again to kind of compare it to last year's, because it ended up still getting three or four guys in NFL camps or signing. So solid group. But I just think whether you've got just kind of a plugger, you know, like a Hammond Russell or Poyser, he's massive, as I'm sure you guys saw in the D-line picks, but he just has a lot of burst to him. You know, I think Perkins, you're going to see what we kind of hoped or what we maybe saw last spring, 2025. Vils is just kind of a fighter in there, not as tall or big as some of the others, but solid player that Whitlow loves. So, you know, I think that'd probably be the biggest strength to me, Rajiv. Who is going to be a star within it or a potential day three or NFL signing, we'll see. But when you put those guys together, and from my understanding, the way that they've really kind of built some chemistry and coalesced in EJ Whitlow's room, I think there's reason to be encouraged while acknowledging, as Mike Tressel did at the end of spring, they can still scratch a little bit closer to that surface.
Yeah, I agree on the names. I think you're Poyser, Russell, Perkins. I think I agree with you on the strength. I think the multiplicity, like as far as like the type of body type there, I think the weight and the size is going to be our greatest strength. You've got 330 pounds, 328. There's two guys that are pushing 330, like Poyser and Perkins. Like Poyser and Perkins are behemoths in there. I remind you that 2 years ago we had like, we had no one over 300 pounds on the inside. So it's really like, yeah, I mean, there's so much weight up there. Johnson, by the way, I think Dylan Johnson's going to be the guy that people aren't quite talking about yet. You mentioned it. You both mentioned him. But I think he could be one of my breakout guys. I'll talk about him later a bit. But I think watch out for him. But I'm really happy with this. Justin, the weakness. What's your concern with this interior group?
I think the biggest thing you could say is, do they turn out to be more of just a guy kind of defensive line? And if that's the case, are you capable of getting enough disruption and potentially like playmaking out of that position, which is something they may need on times? Like one thing you can say about some of those Leonard defenses is they'd have a guy that occasionally would jump up and get a sack or just make a tackle for loss that was really important. And we will know a lot more once the season starts and you play a team like Notre Dame, whether these guys are capable of doing it against a quality team, because I think we can't look at you're going against the Badger offensive line and saying that you're doing it here until we actually get the opportunity to see the Badger offensive line is good.
Man, like after that Notre Dame preview show with Locked On Irish guy Tyler, boy, that game scares the crap out of me now. They are just loaded. I really am. I feel it's going to be crazy. Will Hanna brings up wasn't the Illinois State transfer banged up this spring? Listen, speaking of the Illinois State transfer, Jake Anderson's going to have it. I think he's going to be in a player too. Like there's someone, there's something there. Yep. And did he play the spring, Nick?
He was banged up for parts, I would say. Well, spot on. He did get some chances a little bit late, I believe. We certainly saw him out there. But, yes, there's a reason we didn't see 9-7, quite as much as maybe expected.
Okay, let's move to the outside linebacker / defensive ends. Let's talk about the pass rush a little bit. Certainly a big, focus of this team. Nick, I'll start with you on this one. Give me your depth. Like, how do you feel like it shakes out? There is definitely some discussion about who could really be getting in there. You've seen the team most. You know the most about these guys and kind of the intricacies of how they're playing so far. Give me that depth that you project right now and give me your greatest strength.
Yeah, again, guys, a deep room if everybody's healthy, like flat out. I think, who we probably saw with the ones most, Sebastian Cheeks, Tyrese Fearbree, certainly up there. Nick Clayton is going to play a bunch. Justice Boone is going to play a bunch, we would expect. And then I would mention, I'm not saying he's going to be in the ones or twos, but somebody that's carved out a role in special teams that I know Matt Mitchell loves, just kind of some of what he brings. I'll actually mention two. Not saying that level of depth, RG, but they bear mentioning. Will McDonald actually flashed a little bit more than expected. And Jalen Williams, who I know Justin and I have been really ready to see what he can do. He did a lot in his chances is what I would say about him. I think we all agree on his ceiling, his potential. What opportunities does he get right now? It's going to see. He brings some things with his size and kind of bend athleticism that not everybody can bring. So certainly a name I'm tracking. I think there's probably a clear-cut three or four like DL, though.
Okay. Yeah, I think that – basing it off of what you said and what I picked up on a lot too, it seems like in traditional downs or just for the most part, it feels like you had mentioned Boone. I know he was banged up in the spring. So
he's
hard to get a feel for what they truly expect out of him. But I do think that they're higher on Fearbree than maybe some of us as fans were, who he kind of got in the doghouse with us with some of his behavior at times. But it's clearly Cheeks is a lock to start. Like, that guy is playing no matter, like he's in concrete right now on the depth chart. I think the other spot's a little bit more up in the air. I think Boone and Fearbree will probably fight it out in fall camp. Mm-hmm. Garner's another guy who I think has an opportunity there with his size to be a guy in short yardage, like third and less than four, where they may look at it and say, all right, this is another big body we can chuck out there. Who's got some weight to him. Who's not going to get pushed around. I think I would love Williams to make a jump here because I just think he kind of fits the perfect hybrid of being a guy who's got some weight to be able to be stout, but also has a little bit of burst and ability to be like overwhelm a tackle a little bit. And I also have a hot take that I threw out there. I need to see three sacks from him. So he's got to get his butt on the field.
Jesus. Yeah, that's right. You did. Yeah, I agree. I mean, Cheeks is the guy. Obviously, at this point, he played really well last year. He's definitely going to be one of the leaders of this team. Look, when I look at this unit, and I do want to pin you on this question that White Marlin just asked, edge has to be the deepest room. We're going to hold on that because I'm coming to you, Nick. I want your take on this. My concern, the loss of Peterson and Reiger, like there's a lot of production that Peterson and Reiger had. So experience. And for me, the biggest question mark I have, and I want your guys' take on this, is the run-stopping ability of our guys that are going to be on the end here. Fearbree, Cheeks, Boone, Clayton, they need to be stout up, and they need to be stout on the run. It's not just going to be on those guys up front or the guys behind them and Post and Catalano. They've got to be able to set that edge and let, because if they don't do their job, Post and Catalano can't do their job. And, maybe it's like a Michael Garner that comes out there and gets a lot of that time against rundowns, and they're playing more three or four down linemen. I am concerned about their ability to stop the run. And Justin, are you worried about that? Like, I feel like we're not talking about that as much. Like, I think that's a thing.
On the edge, not necessarily, because the way I look at it, I mean, we need to remember a lot of the edges that we played under Leonard were like 240 or 235. And a lot of it comes down to is, can these guys get themselves in the right position and do what they're supposed to on a given down? I think athletically, they have enough athleticism that they can keep themselves from getting swallowed up. And that's kind of what, that's what we did with the old Badger edges, was just like, you're athletic enough. Don't let them get their hands on you. And you need to string this out. Use your athleticism to keep things inside. And I think that's exactly what you're doing with a guy like Cheeks. Fearbree's a guy who I think has the length to be able to be stout on the edge if necessary. Boone has done it. Like, he's a guy who's already ready to be, like, he fits the elephant end position to a T. Like, he's a 4-3 defensive end. And I think that Williams is in that spot. I think that Garner is, like, he's almost like a goal line edge at 300 pounds. Like, he's a massive guy for playing on the edge, that it's almost like, you know, that it's going to be short yardage or whatever, where you don't like it's, you're not going to swallow him up. And I actually think he's a pretty good athlete. So he's a guy that I think that I feel pretty good about it. Now, the question that we will run into with this about how good this defense is going to be, how disciplined can they be? And can they do what they're supposed to be doing? Like, how smart is this defense? Will these guys understand what their job is on a given play and do that job and not get lost trying to do too much, or not get lost just not understanding what's going on in a given play, like being able to find the ball and move?
Yeah, I'll just jump in. Rajiv, are we touching that question from our guy White Marlin right now?
Definitely.
So it's a great question. It's really good. I think that I would put, you know, edge, and I think a lot of people might have a different answer for this, but I actually think a position we haven't touched yet, safety, is very deep for me. But I think you wouldn't probably put any spot above edge in terms of depth. But like Justin said, like you guys both really hit on, filling those specific roles. Like, you need a Justice Boone and ideally Garner to be healthy, because not all these guys are kind of namely run stoppers, right? And that is very important. I remember I had, I think it was, one-on-one or just a couple of us speaking with Nick Clayton this spring. Obviously, some of his, you know, size and muscle that he's put on, he said straight up, I think I've gotten better in the run game. I think that Cheeks has throughout his time too, but you need somebody with, you know, just really more mass, being more used to it. Boone was hurt. Garner missed some time this spring. I think 4 or 5 months later, we're good to say that. So, you know, obviously, I think when these guys are healthy, yeah, you are probably going to see 5 or 6 of them play. You know, Matt Mitchell loves to filter in different bodies while still recognizing guys, as we saw last year with DP and Reiger, who are my guys on 3rd and 7 when we're down 6 and need the ball back.
As far as my thought on White Marlin's question, I wouldn't put it past the inside linebackers to be a really deep group, because we know who the top two are, but there's a lot of guys on that team that can play, right? And whether it's John or Tommy, like, there are players in that inside room. And we're going to talk about that now. But yeah, overall, look, I think pass rush, look, we know we're going to need it. I think pass rush, oddly, I'm not that concerned about it. I think Nick Clayton is going to be a pass rusher. I think Cheeks is a good pass rusher. You mentioned it, Justin. Can they not get swallowed up when those tackles are not in pure pass pro, and they can, these edges can pin their ears back and go, when they can't do that, when they're being blocked heavily by those tackles, can they hold their own? Can they prevent those rushers from getting to the edge and going upfield? That's my biggest concern with this group. I'm not oddly concerned about the pass rush overall. I feel pretty good about where we are because of the next group we're going to talk about, because they also play a massive part in pass rush.
I'll say one more thing, because I didn't really talk about Clayton. It sounds like he's to the point already where he's just kind of abusing the second team. So he's a guy who's gotten to the point where it's just like, I think we're a year away from him in strength and conditioning from being an absolute college monster, like being a guy who's too physically strong and is just so quick that tackles are just going to not be able to handle him. I don't know if he's quite there yet physically in terms of the strength. I think he's getting much closer, and at times he'll be able to get away with it. But next year, when he really gets builds on that foundation, he's going to be a dude that just absolutely blows up tackles.
Yeah. Before we move on to the inside linebacker room, just a quick reminder for those that just joined us, tons of content coming up on this channel. Lots of good shows coming up for the next few weeks. Know Your Foe series drops every Wednesday. We just had a great one last week in Notre Dame. We're doing Penn State this week. So, so much going on the Bucky Report. And we always thank Nick Gosen for his time. Let's move to probably the best starters we have on this team, on this defense. They're pictured in the thumbnail today. Mason Posa, Cooper Catalano, the inside linebacking group. I'll start here. I mean, I think it's pretty clear. You're looking at John Kamara, Tommy Heiberger as the backups there. But you've got Aaron Witt that can play up there now. And there's a lot of talent in this room that even goes beyond that. But listen, this is top heavy. This is the creme de la creme. Mason Posa, we talked about it earlier. He led the team in tackles and he played half the games. I mean, what else do we need to say about this? Like, he played didn't even play half, actually. Four games did he play? Five games? I don't even know how many he played. But either way, he was incredible. He's the best player on this defense. He's the best player on this team, I think. I think he's a lock for All Big Ten. I think he's got a shout, an outside shot at getting some All-America honors. I think he's an absolute stud. The biggest strength in my opinion in this room is just the fact that we've got Catalano and Bosa. They are super, super high motor guys. They can run to the edges quickly. They can affect the pass. He does everything. Like the guy plays with his hair on fire, and it's both of them. They take great angles. They're good tacklers. Find me a hole in any of their games. Either one of those two. I don't think you can say, boy, they suck at this, because they don't. There is not really a weakness in my opinion. That's my thing here. The weakness is I just hope they can stay healthy, because I don't see any problem with this room. I don't see a problem with the depth. I don't see a problem with the starters. I think John Kamara is a really good add. Like, there's so much to like here, Nick. Like, I don't know if I can find something that's wrong with this group. And I don't think there is a better group on this defense than that inside linebacking core.
Well, and this is why, guys, you know, I was smiling and kind of a little hesitant about our guy White Marlin's question, because I think if you told me four different positions on this defense is the quote-unquote deepest, I'd believe it. Of course, I'll get to Posa and Catalano, but I'll tell you guys flat out, Kamara is going to play, and I do think that they trust Heiberger. Certainly, when needed, he has a clear-cut role. But starting at the top, you're exactly right. I think Posa had tackle number like in the 60s or so, Catalano high 50s, I believe. Yep. Going off a little bit of memory there, but I think the best part about these two, other than, you know, being kind of the faces of the program at this point and being best friends off the field, obviously, you know, we've covered that a bunch of the last couple years. I think they complement each other so well. I think you guys talked a little bit about Posa in kind of the pass rush, the athleticism, what he does. Catalano, his read and react is so quick, you know, better speed than people give him credit for, incredibly strong, a good tackler. So I think that group in total, like you said, Rajiv, if they're staying healthy for 11, 12 of these games, you're in a great spot, not just this year, but likely the next couple as well.
Yeah, I think legitimately, this to me is the deepest position. And the reason I say that is I think all four of these guys are legitimately quality Big Ten starters at a minimum. And I think that is, we have a harder time saying that about some of the other guys that we can look at and be like, would this guy start on another team? I think that's a tougher question when we look at like a guy like Justice Boone. And that's no shot at him. It's just, I don't think that he's necessarily on some of these other teams, he'd be a guy that you'd look at and say he's a lock to start there. I think you could make the argument that most of these guys, like John Kamara, is going to be a freak of nature on any team. Heiberger is a freak of nature athlete on any other team. They might switch positions on a couple other teams if they had to play there, but I think they'd be playing. And then I like, from that standpoint, I think all of them have potential to be productive this year. I think that's the other part of it is, the question I have for Nick is, do you see them being a little bit more in terms of like flexible and having packages for some of these guys? Like out of these guys, John feels like the one who's going to have the best ability to possibly drop and move in space because he's just such a freak athlete. And that's one of the things with Catalano that I'm kind of like, It's not that he can't do it. It's that I think there's other guys who can do it at a higher level, and I question whether they're going to take advantage of that or if they just really like his instincts to the point where they're like, he makes up for some of that and his ability to understand what's happening in a given play. Did you see any of that kind of in the spring?
What I would say, Justin, is I think I wrote about this a little bit, you know, even in the portal season before things really got going. From my understanding, and it matches some of what I saw, I'm not going to overhype this stuff, but I think at times you're going to see three of those guys out there, Justin. I think specifically with John John's athleticism, speed, I think he's picked up the defense really quickly too. Like, they trust him. And I guess I will say they didn't invest in the position again, you know, with some of the schools they beat out for Kamara to not have him play, if that makes sense. I'm not sure it's just going to be a, you know, take somebody out here and then plug them. I think at times you'll see three. I think maybe you'll pull one of the top two or three guys. You're going to see Heiberger at times. I think he brings some really good bend. I think he can move a little bit in space as well, especially when healthy. So I think you're going to see them all. But yes, Justin, to me, I think it's a little bit more those top two with kind of pieces of Kamara fitting in rather than a switch, from my understanding.
Okay.
Imagine a 4-3 run stopping of like Boone and Garner on the ends, and then Kamara, Posa, and Catalano.
No, truly though, like spot on.
They could definitely do that if they have a team like Iowa.
Yeah, because and that's how you stop those teams, because you are going to face teams, especially with this slightly weaker schedule. Like, you're going to face teams that don't have a good quarterback, and they're going to try to get you running the ball, but you're not going to be able to with that lineup, which is good. Yeah, this group it's incredible. Like, these guys. The more we see from Posa and Catalano, like, I mean, the very first time I watched Posa's film, I told you guys, like, this is my guy. There's no question about him. He's the best player in that class. And I've been so consistent. I've been so happy with how great he's been. All right, secondary, an issue last year. Obviously, we had injuries. We had all kinds of problems. We just weren't that effective. And we went out and we decided to go out and get some actual cornerbacks. We brought in Bryce West. We brought in Kai Bates. We brought in, I'm forgetting a big name here, Javon Robinson. There's so much that we brought in. Nick, like, how do you sort of see this group lining up? The ones, the twos, the depth chart there, and give me your kind of strength and any concerns that you have about this group, and then we'll come to Justin.
Yeah, a natural teaser for me here, because on the road this week I'm doing a little piece, because I just think the group, Rajiv, is so fascinating. Like, I think, okay, all these guys come in, you're going to expect them to play, which they will. But who's somebody that I found myself writing about 2-3 practices a week throughout the spring? Jahmyr Scott. Because they talk about iron sharpening iron. He has taken a leap. So how I see it, as we know, guys, these are just our thoughts and projections, not in stone. But I've got, okay, safe to say, if healthy, Javon Robinson. I believe it is Javon, I think he told us. Locked in starter, obviously. I think Bryce West is your guy at slot corner on the inside. And then the player that I was the most consistently impressed with, I just thought he brought it every single day, was Jahmyr Scott. Now, he was attacked. Obviously, it's, you know, easier to get pass breakups and things when you're getting thrown at opposite Robinson. But that's how I've got it. I think that Kai Bates is going to get opportunities there. And I think Eric Fletcher, we certainly saw him in the mix as well. From the way Robert Steeple spoke, you know, you might see all four or five of those guys at times, which isn't shocking. You know, corner, you're going to need breathers and things at times. But you ask me, passing down, what three corners do I want to see the most? Those first three I mentioned, I just thought, you know, if we watch the film, which I think I actually talked about him on your guys' great show, like, Jahmyr Scott in high school, okay, maybe looked like a safety as he played at times, or a slot at the next level. But guys, he was, you know, damn near a lockdown corner this spring. And just speaking with, you know, folks around the program, I think they really like how he's jumped. So that's what I would say. I think the group is fascinating. I think that, you know, I was maybe a little surprised the full-on number of transfers they brought in, but I think they obviously saw, hey, we need to get a leap here in terms of talent, experience, athleticism. I think they did that.
Yeah, I think there was a room that was tremendously young. And I think last year lacked athleticism. I think the problem that I saw with last year's room is that everyone that you athletically, you were like, this is a guy who we need to get playing. was too young to be playing. And the guys that we had that had the experience and should have been quality lacked some of the athletic skills that you need to. We saw some of the times that came out of when they had the day when the scouts came in, and it was rough. It was what you'd expect for a team that struggled with stopping the pass. I thought Hallman throughout his career never really looked like much of a burner to me. Forkerian was never a guy, even with him, he was never, didn't have a ton of speed. So I think you brought in a ton of athleticism with this. Is Robinson's field side, right?
I would say generally. I mean, he's somebody I trust to do both, but yes, generally.
I think he's athletic enough to be able to do it because he's got the speed, but I don't know if I necessarily want him in press. But I was going to say the reason why I asked that question is, who is his backup?
I mean, I think, Justin, what I saw is both that would have been, I guess, Bates and Fletch getting some opportunities over there.
Okay. So they're kind of being either side then, and
yeah.
Scott is being considered more of a boundary.
Yeah, that you cut out a little bit there. Sorry, but that's exactly what I saw. And in fact, Justin, I'm pretty sure that they were rotating all three of those guys. Yeah, and in fact, at times, Scott even got some chances at inside, because a big thing that Steeples wants that he preaches is versatility and to be able to rely on a bunch of these guys, because obviously, you know, you knock on wood for health, but it's hard for every single player in a position to play all 12 games, of course. So you need those guys to have knowledge of both spots. I think when you increase some of that experience, the athleticism, you'll get those chances.
This is also one of those rooms that you can bring up as depth. There's a ton of depth here with all the transfers we brought in. And of course, Jameer Scott. I agree with as far as the names you brought up on the depth chart and how that looks out. I think the strength here is athleticism for sure. Like that's something different. And Tressel has mentioned it. Like, we need to be better at stopping the pass. We need to be more athletic because we're going to face athletic wide receivers in this conference. It's regardless of the fact that we have a slightly weaker schedule, whatever, like there's still really good receivers that we're going to face up against. We're going to see some incredible ones to start the season against Notre Dame. We're going to see him against Penn State. We're going to see him all throughout the line. So there's a lot to be there. Justin, what's your weakness? What are you concerned about with this group?
I think this is one of those positions that I look at and say, are we going to have issues? Because there's a lot of turnover that's happened on this back end, communication-wise. And that's something you cannot have against Notre Dame. Because you have a quarterback that is a very high-level talent and has some really high-level talent in wide receivers that if you make a mistake, they are going to make you pay because he'll be able to put it on somebody. And that is not something we can get away with, you know, kind of, oh, well, you know, we can do that against the second and third week teams. We can't get away with that against Notre Dame. And we can't get away with it against Penn State probably because Rocco Becht is another guy who's pretty experienced at this point.
Yeah, definitely. It's a good unit, though. Good group overall. I think there's going to be some success there. Let's move on to the other side of it, safety. I think it's pretty clear at this point. I'll lead off of this one. I think it's Burks and Young appear to be the starters. That's clear. But certainly Van Dinter and who's the other one I'm thinking of?
Trainer. My guy. No.
But then you got Emmerich. You got Emmerich back there. You got Dean back there.
Skanes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Cairo Skanes. Yeah, like
he's going to play a ton.
This is another one, another group that you could say, this is the deepest. I think you actually mentioned, Nick, that this might be the deepest for you. Yeah. Tons of athleticism there. I think Matt Young is talk about his arc of just like where he was at one point last year where people were just like, why is this guy playing? And then he brought it when a lot of other people on the defense didn't, like people on the team didn't bring it. He brought it at the end of last year. He was one of the main reasons I think our defense improved. So I'm really excited about his career arc and how he's done. Nick, your thoughts on this room overall? I know you like this room and how do you see like this room playing out and what are your big strengths?
My guy, Rajiv, I appreciate that because yes, I think some people might think that was a hot take, but you know, I love watching this spot. It's so darn important in this defense. I don't think people fully realize it. Burks missed a little bit of spring ball, you know, just a little dinged up here and there. So you saw Young out there. Love your point. I think he is, man, played himself into somebody really, really reliable. I've got Cairo Skanes. We're doing like a most important Badger series. I'm sure you guys have seen. I think that he is up there for me in that, you know, 25 to 35 range, because he can play five different positions on the defense. So you're going to see him. Van Dinter, somebody that, you know, obviously I've covered since Iowa State. I think with his size and speed, he brings some different dimensions. Obviously, you invested in a guy like Burks, you're going to rely on him. Some folks think he could be an NFL guy. And then going deeper, because it is like, if I needed to trust Grant Dean or Luke Emrick, I've seen a little bit more from Dean, but in, you know, say weeks two or three, like I would. There's a reason that Dean has already looked good in his reps and gotten a bunch of special teams chances too. I think Jack Cooper has a very strong room. As long as you don't see, you know, too many injuries to some of the top guys, I think it's going to really flourish with those corners. I love the point that Justin made about communication. From my understanding, I think that's something, and I'll give a shout not just to the position coaches I mentioned, but Paul Haynes back there, as well as Chris Worley, who's now moved to assistant DBs. So he's working with safeties and slot corners. I think they've really focused guys on, hey, we hope you're getting along on the field, but off the field, bringing guys together, getting used to being around each other, communicating a bunch. I love this room. I think it's sneaky, underrated, and I think that if it hits, it's going to be probably, I mean, yeah, the best we've seen since Wohler and Zachman, and maybe even the ceiling of a really nice unit.
So the question I will have is, do you think Young athletically is somebody that can be exploited? I'm curious how he compares to some of the other guys, because it feels like some of the other guys, there's some,
I mean, guys,
Haynes and, oh, go ahead.
Guys can, you know, they're not going to bat 1,000, right? I remember even maybe the best I've ever seen, Derwin James, gets attacked in the NFL at times. You know, it happens. But Justin, I feel like just the amount of time he's put in, his knowledge of the defense, he's pretty technically sound. I'm not going to say anybody's batting 1,000, like I said, but I wouldn't use the word exploited on my end. I think that, shoot, what we saw in the spring, like he was pretty darn solid. And I'm even thinking back to early fall a couple times when, you know, the commoner eye, the fan eye just thought, oh, he got beat there. You know, there were a couple times it was damn good coverage from him, and it took a perfect ball from, you know, Simpson or some of the other QBs to make these things happen. Not telling you he's going to be, you know, a day one, day two pick, but I think the guy's solid. And I think that, again, I'll keep pumping Cairo Skanes because I just know what his ceiling is. And I think if he puts it all together, I'm not saying he's there yet, but if he does, like, he will be a household name in the defense the next couple of years. But right now, I think the two you mentioned, Rajiv, and then I foresee at least four of those guys getting reps.
Do you have any other thoughts on the safety group, Justin?
I feel pretty good about the secondary in general. I honestly think they have, they're four deep there, at least, of guys that I trust them playing. I think athletically, it's a little bit like watching Remember the Titans. You have guys that if you need to upgrade, like bring somebody in, if Young isn't capable of staying with somebody, say we play in Ohio State or somebody like that for whatever reason, you have a couple of guys who are a little bit more premium athletes in Skanes and Van Dinter who are on the back end who can run with anybody in the conference. And that gives you some flexibility. And that's a big, that's one of the important things when we talk about this defense as a whole. This year, you have so many different types and so much more athleticism that you have options that if something's not going quite right, you can say, I have this other guy who I can try out there who athletically I know has the athleticism to be able to do it, even if, you know, maybe they're not quite as technical as what some of the other guys are. And that's something that we haven't had. And that was one of the questions I was going to even ask about cornerback is like, were you seeing any of the younger guys kind of push these guys that were the up in there? I know we're seeing some of it at the safety because we saw Emrick and Dean do it last year already where they were getting reps. They're kind of forced into it, but I think they acquitted themselves pretty well for that.
Yeah. If I can just add real quick, Rajiv, I know we've still got some things in our great loaded show, but what I will just add is Van Dinter can fly. You know, you talked about kind of both those guys, Justin. To me, it's his speed. And with Skanes, I preach versatility because I'm sure you guys remember he was playing outside corner. He got some reps at slot. I saw this spring, but I think he's a natural at safety. I think that he can be a kind of ball hawk, a playmaker. I know that's what he prided himself on at Providence Day, at, you know, the end of his recruitment. Just a sneaky ad that I think he's still growing with consistency. But to me, you're looking at a starter with him in 27 if he puts it all together.
What I would say, by the way, about your Matt Young question, Justin, like I think that, yeah, maybe athletically he's not the greatest, but his effort cannot be questioned, at least the end of last year. So sometimes that can help make up for a little bit too. I think,
and I don't think he's a poor athlete either. He's not, you know, the best athlete on the team. So, but just worth noting.
Yeah. And we'll, of course, break down the depth chart a little bit more and see, like, once we hit the fall camp stuff, we'll talk more about some of these guys and who's actually shining out there. But let's have some fun and do some superlatives to kind of close things out for this defensive preview. This is the fun part. There's some good stuff here that I came up with this morning. So let's talk about start here. I'm going to start with you, Nick. Then I'll go to Justin. We're going to try to be a little bit quick through this segment. Defensive superlative number one, underrated breakout star or stars that could have a big impact that we're not really talking about right now.
Yeah. I think to me, again, if it matches what I saw in the spring, I have to go with Jahmyr Scott. I don't think maybe the casual fan is talking about him as much. I'm not, you know, saying he's going to be first team all Big Ten, but the player that I saw in the spring is capable of being a Big Ten starter at a very important position.
Yeah, for me, it's Nick Clayton and John Kamara. Like, I think both of those guys, I know there are people that are high on them, but I don't think anybody is necessarily expecting them to be making splash plays. But I think both of those guys are capable of making, like, massive, like, momentum-shifting plays in a game. And if they get opportunity, I feel pretty darn confident that they're going to make plays out on the field.
I like the John Kamara shout. I also mentioned earlier, I think Dylan Johnson is a player that people need to watch out for. I think he's better than people think. Another name that I would watch out for, we haven't talked a lot about him tonight, Jake Anderson. I think Jake Anderson, he brings a ton of experience, albeit at a different level. I think Jake Anderson could have a really nice, season potentially this year. Okay. Number two, come to you first on this one, Justin. Defensive stat you dream of seeing at the end of the season. What stat do you dream of seeing at the end of the season?
I want to see them force over 18 turnovers.
Okay. 18, that's a good number. That's, by the way, that's tripling last year's production, Nick.
It is. And that means they probably are a borderline playoff team.
My guy took mine. Do you have, real quick, Rajiv, just because I'd like to go with it, team sacks from last year or no? Do you have that handy?
I do have it. I don't know.
Solid number.
Yeah, it's like, let's see, we got, yeah.
Gosh, I know around,
there were quite a bit. You're looking at around 23, 24,
looks okay. Like. Okay, yeah.
We were up on 30s.
Just give me your stat. And
I got you. I will say, dreaming, so it's got to be pretty darn good. 33 and a half sacks for this group this fall. I think this has been one of our most info loaded shows. So I just wanted to be accurate with you, Rajiv. I don't remember exactly what it was last year. Obviously, some of those top OLBs really made some plays, but Justin took my turnovers. I'll go with sacks.
It's right about 30. I think it's 30 and a half technically. So
perfect. That's where perfect we are. Perfect number for me.
So the stat that I dream of seeing at the end of the season is, this is a little bit out there, but 10 sacks from Mason Posa. That's what I dream of seeing, is a 10. I want someone on this team to have 10 sacks. Okay. And I think Posa could actually end up having it. Maybe it's Cheeks, but I really want someone to have 10 sacks. It's just a nice,
very good 10. Yeah.
10's a great number to have. Like last year, Darrell Peterson led us with 6.5 sacks. Mason Reiger had 5, Post had 4, Allegro had 4. So I would love to see someone get 10, but we'll see how that goes. Okay, 3 players we can't afford to lose. I'll start here, then we'll go to Justin, then Nick. It's Posa, Catalano, Cheeks. To me, those are the 3. I put all 3 of those guys in the thumbnail of the show. I think you could argue maybe it's Burks or a cornerback, but for me, Posa and Catalano are absolutely must. Like, I believe in Kamara and Heiberg. I think that we mentioned the depth is there, but those guys are so good and they completely transform the defense. And I think Cheeks, will be our most consistent. I'm not saying he's going to lead the team in sacks, but he's going to be up there. Disruption in the backfield. Cheeks is a really high motor player that I think is going to have a big year. So for me, it's those three guys. It's the two middles, and of course, it's Sebastian Cheeks. Who are your three, Justin?
Yeah, I'm going to go one at each level, and it's going to be Hammond Russell, Posa, and Javon Robinson. I think Javon Robinson, to me, is the stabilizing influence in that cornerback room. He's the one that has the experience. I think it would be – it's not that we can't, from a talent standpoint, remove ourselves from that. It's more, is there someone I trust to consistently be doing the right thing on a given play? There's nobody that I trust more than him at the cornerback position, and that's why I don't think we can afford to lose him.
Okay, fair.
I just said the old man because my man keeps taking my hands. I'll go post to Catalano. It's not original, but I do believe it's the truth. And yeah, I got to go with Javon. I mean, they, again, invested in a starter at a power, you know, school conference because he's coming in to make a huge impact. So thought he was good in spring. Think he's one of the leaders in the room. I'll go with those guys.
All right, Nick, player we may be overrating. Potentially.
I'm not sure that this group at least has been overrating one necessarily. But I would say maybe a guy that I need to see it a little bit more, Rajiv, to kind of see some of what you maybe alluded to, or maybe hasn't, you know, shown what we thought and kind of what I heard from sources and things. Maybe Jake Anderson. Like, I want to see him healthy and kind of see what he can put together. But I mean, these starters, I feel like our projections have been pretty fair.
So for me on this one, it's Burks. And I'm not saying Burks isn't going to be really good, but I feel like people are sort of like, and myself included, anointing him as a potential NFL, you know, guy at safety. And I just don't know. If you talk to players, if you talk to fans from his previous school, they weren't like that bothered by him leaving. He's going to be good, I think. But I think Burks is sort of my guy. I'm like, ooh, we might be a little bit too high on Marvin Burks. Justin, who's yours?
Yeah, it's not even going to be a starter most likely, or he's going to be kind of in the rotation. It's Poyser. I'm very high on him. If he has anything less than like 2.5 sacks and gets like, you know, 5 tackles for loss or whatever during the course of the season, I'm going to be a little bummed that he didn't live up to what I was expecting out of him. I really liked his film. He was a guy who, when I watched it, I was like, he has a chance to be a really, really disruptive quality player on the interior. And so for me, I have high expectations for him. I would love to see him live up to it because it will make a massive difference for this defense if he's capable of being that disruptive at this level. But we'll see if the step up, if he's capable of replicating that here.
Okay, Justin, player we may be underrating.
Probably Tommy Heiberger. I think that I think we all feel pretty good about him, but I think he has a chance to legitimately, like, him and John both have a chance to be like borderline star quality this year. Like, they have that level of talent, and it would not shock me to have him have a game where he suddenly goes out there and has 2.5 sacks. And you're like, where was this guy all the time? Like, we felt that way coming out of high school, that he was capable of being that type of player.
So this for me is where I say Kairos Gaines, because I know, Nick, you're really high on him. I might not be as high on him, and I think I'm underrating him because I think Kairos Gaines could really be good. You've kind of sold me a little bit, and you've been mentioning his name for a while. So I like that, but I'm going to go Kairos Gaines on this one. What's your – who might you be underrating, Nick?
Yeah, this is going to shock you guys. Kairo. No, I'm kidding. Fearbury.
Okay.
I actually think, like, Justin made a good point. You know, maybe the fans weren't all about him after – I think it was the Iowa game, right, or leading into the game type of stuff. But I think there's a reason the program brought him back. I think that he's actually looked at as a vocal leader at times within kind of that group. I thought that he demonstrated some really good things in the spring, and I expect him to play a lot.
All right, good one. All right, last but not least, defensive MVP. Nick, I'll start with you. Who is the MVP of this defense in 2026?
Posa Cat. Tie for those two, the inside backers.
To me, it's Posa, and it's just he's the emotional leader of the defense. Like, that guy plays with his hair on fire so much. He brings so much energy to the defense, and you could see, like, it was visually, like, palpable when we watched when he started playing last year. Like the defense just seemed like it was turbocharged once he got out there.
Yeah, listen, Catalano is an incredible player, but the answer is Posa, and it's not close for me. It's just not close. I'm so impressed by what that guy brings to this defense, and he is the MVP. I think he's going to have an absolute incredible year. Papa Smurf says sophomore slump for Posa. Buddy, you're wrong about this, Papa Smurf. I'm sorry. We welcome all opinions. You mentioned Posa earlier. I think someone we may be overrating. I think he said that here. Yeah. Yikes, Papa Smurf. But it's okay. If that's your opinion, that's fine. I think you're going to be very wrong about this. But hey, like that's fine. Justin, you start a comment here. White Marlin, who is someone lower on the depth chart that could surprise later in the year? What do you think about this, Justin?
I think that when we look at this, Williams is probably one of those guys I think that has an opportunity to grow as the season goes on. Just from an athleticism standpoint, I think he's a guy that could end up moving his way up as he shows the consistency. But it's hard with the depth chart like this. I think people fail to realize how little time they spend with development during the course of the season. Guys are going to have to take their opportunities to flash as they can, but there's very little time when they spend where they're not game planning, where these guys are going to get an opportunity to really show out and prove that they deserve it, unless somebody else isn't up to snuff in their position.
Guys, as we wrap the show, and thank you again, Nick, of course, for joining. If you're joining us, if you just joined us, hit that rewind, go back and listen to all the good stuff we talked about through the whole depth chart, player analysis, all that kind of good stuff, and our full defensive preview. Hit the like button if you're still listening to this on YouTube. Very, very helpful to us. So definitely do that. Thank you so much for the 33% of you that make it all the way to the end of our shows. We appreciate that. Okay, so as we close, I want your final thoughts and also answering the big sort of question here. Is this defense built to win? Can we rely on this group to get us wins? I mean, at the end of the day, defense will win you games, depending on obviously the offense has to do their part. But is this defense truly built to win, Nick? And any other final thoughts you have?
Yeah, I've got a lot here for you, my friend. So I think first and foremost, you know, I think yes to that question. I think that this defense, I saw some fans, some of the, you know, really knowledgeable ones on our board talking about a top 15 defense. You know, as you guys have noticed the last year and a half or two, I'm really careful with some of these projections. I think even a top 25 defense would be considered really good. I don't think that they have a weakness in terms of a position. I think obviously some are better than others. I think that, say, corners, you know, we'll just say because the new faces, like Justin said, need to put it together. But I think those top, what would you say, 20 to 23 names maybe on the defense when you factor in the fronts and rotating and stuff, I think is in the best spot unequivocally we've seen in the Fickell era. I think that there's a lot to work with. And I do think the defense is going to be what not maybe wins you the ceiling, right, in terms of getting to 8 or 9 wins, but that floor that prevents you from maybe another tough season. And then I will just add real briefly, because I know you guys do your smooth close, hitting the road at 6 a.m. tomorrow, paying for an AAU coverage trip for 6 days. We subscribe our guys right here. Guys, if you ever want to check out my site, it helps a ton. Would love to have a travel budget for this next year.
There is no better place than 247 to go out there, badger247.com. It's everything behind the paywall. As I always say, it's well worth it. It's well worth it. Justin and I have been behind the paywall for a long time. It's very, very good stuff. So definitely go check that out. Justin, your final thoughts and whether in your big picture thoughts on this defense.
Yeah, they absolutely are. I think that they're the heartbeat of this team. I think that if this, we talk 8-9 wins, if they're going to do it, like it's going to be because the defense is really good and they're going to give opportunity to the offense to grow into itself. And I think that that's ultimately what this season is about for this team, is if the offense is going to find a way to figure out what it can do well, because it's been a really long time since Wisconsin's been able to say we're good at this offensively and can say anything. It's what, 4 or 5 years now since we've been able to say our running game is something we can really rely on to carry us through a game. So if we're going to get to 8 or 9 wins, it's going to be because the defense is really good and that the offense gets its opportunity to find its legs and win us some games.
Comment here from KP, our good buddy KB. Like I said, Road Warrior, he's referring to Osen, always on the road. KB, I saw your text this morning. I owe you a response. And yes, we're going to talk about that Ireland trip. By the way, Justin and I are going to Ireland. next year's to the Pittsburgh game.
And then
and Nick's probably going to go. Good buddy KB's going to go. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be fantastic. I hope you guys are going to that. Anyone listen to this? Listen, it's built to win for sure. And over the years, the best Badger teams that you can look back to, you can go back and you can find the Badger team. Yeah, you can look at the Russell Wilson year. You can look at years where offense was incredible. But defense has always been a hallmark of this program. Jim Leonard brought that. Like there's and everything there's, you can look back for the last 10, 15 years. You can always find a Badger defense that is dominant, especially up front. Really good linebackers. We have tons of linebackers in the NFL. There's, you can look up and down the NFL rosters. You see Badgers everywhere. And it's absolutely been a cornerstone of what this program has done in the last few years. Last year at the end was better, but it hasn't been up to snuff. And if we are going to climb out of this 4-8 hole that we were in, if rock bottom is truly behind us, it has to start on the defensive side of the ball, period, point blank, everything. Like that's the end of it. Yes, we can talk about quarterbacks. Yes, we can talk about everything else we need. But if we can't stop the run and if we can't be a great defense, we're never going to be successful in the Big Ten. It is what Wisconsin needs, running the ball, defense, all that stuff. I think we absolutely have that. I think this is going to be the Wisconsin defense that turns things around for us because of the recruits that Luke Fickell and Mike Tressel have brought in. We haven't had a ton of great things to say about Luke Fickell the last few years, but what we can say is the recruiting classes are there. And I do think this defense is going to be fantastic. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Justin, you have a final thought. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say one last thing about this from the defensive perspective is I absolutely think they can do it against this schedule too, which I think is another, like there's really only two teams that offensively truly scare me on this schedule. And that is USC and Notre Dame. And everybody else, if the defense is really good, they can stalemate every other offense that we play. There's nobody that can overwhelm us on the schedule like we've had the last couple of years where you look at it and you're like, what are you going to do against some of these teams?
And they
Wisconsin
absolutely
is in a really good spot for this.
And they absolutely should. And it should be a really good year. Really good year for defense. We are going to be back next week. Again, know your folk coming in the middle of the week. Offensive preview is going to be next week. We're going to break down everything like we did today on the offensive side of the ball before we get into season over-unders, our superlatives as we get closer to fall camp. So tons of stuff coming up. Thanks for joining us. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.